Alrighty, guys, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can start in Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua chapter number 24. Before I go any further, I would like for us to take a moment to say a prayer for the community of Parkland, Florida. This week, there was another school shooting, and that is something that that just breaks my heart every time I see that. There's a couple things we need to do. We need to remember why it's so important for us to pray over our kids and pray over our school, okay? You know, thankfully, we've never had any of those type of incidences here in our community, right here in Berwick, and would to God we never have that, amen? This church loves Berwick High School, loves Berwick Junior High School, and we cover that church in prayer. If you've come to our Monday night prayer services, we very often pray prayers over our schools, and when we see things that happen like happened this week in our community, we're reminded why we should pray. You know, some people would ask the question, why did God allow that? Well, that one's above my pay grade. But what I do know is that that this world is corrupted by sin, and people make very poor choices. And a young man made a very poor choice, and he took many people's lives. But we're going to pray that God, in his grace and in his favor, would never allow anything like that to happen in our area. So could we take a moment just to pray for the families that lost loved ones, for this community, for this school. And while we pray for them, let's remember our schools that are just right here across the street, that the Lord would continue to protect them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just lift up our friends in Parkland, Florida. Lord, what happened this week was such a tragedy, Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're on the right-hand side or the left-hand side, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat. So many times we politicize these events. And this morning's not about politics. It's about you touching people that are hurting today. God, there are 17 moms and dads that are having to deal with the most difficult crisis of their life. And I pray this morning that you would comfort them. God, there are school administrators that are asking the what-if questions. They're trying to cope with a situation that is not something they're trained to cope with. I pray today that you would comfort them. Lord, your word promises, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, God, today our heart breaks for those people in Parkland, Florida. God, we just ask that you'd touch them, you'd bless them, you'd protect them, and you'd strengthen them. God, what the enemy meant for evil, God, that you would find some good and bring the good out in this thing. We hear stories of heroic actions, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, but we pray that you would comfort and touch those that are hurting so very much this morning. And Lord, we're just reminded again why we cover our schools next door in prayer. We thank you for covering Berwick Junior High. We thank you for covering Berwick High School. We thank you for covering our elementary schools. We thank you for covering all the schools in our parish. Lord, that your hand of protection and blessing would keep these kind of tragedies from occurring in St. Mary Parish. Lord, I just pray right now that you touch every teacher, every administrator, every student, Lord God, that God, you would touch these schools, protect these schools so that another tragedy like this never happens in our area. Lord, we thank you for comforting and touching these precious people in Florida. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody would say, amen. Churches all around our country were praying for that situation this week, and we thank you for joining our other brothers and sisters in faith. Don't forget, this coming Wednesday night is our annual business meeting. If you're a church member, you're welcome to come. If you're not a member, you're still welcome to come. If you would like an annual report, they are available at the information desk. You can pick one of those up on the way out the door, okay? All right, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about choices. Talk about choices. We make them every day, don't we? What will I wear today, okay? What shoes go with this outfit? By the way, that's not a choice we men worry much about, Seth. You know, we go straight to the tennies or the boots or whatever, you know. We don't think about that. But you ladies, the choice of shoes are a little more important, aren't they? Okay? How many times, John, has this ever happened to you? Tandra comes out and says, which shoe do you rather? Okay? Now, you know what, Tandra? I know he tries his best to answer, but let me give you a little clue. He doesn't really care. Okay? He thinks you're cute if you didn't have shoes on. Okay? Because like me, John married up. Welcome to the club, John. Okay? But how many times has your wife come to you and said, which shoe goes with what? Guys, we struggle with that, right? Okay, Brittany, have you ever asked for you ever asked Fabian ask you? Wow. Wow. We need to talk after church there, Fabian, okay? All righty. But we all make choices, okay? We want people's input. We want to look our best, and that's all cool, okay? Think about choices that you're thinking about right now, like where are we going to go eat after church, okay? Now, in our little community, that's pretty simple. You only got about four choices, okay? So it's not like we live in Homer or anything, but isn't it funny when, Casey, you get in the car and say, okay, where y'all want to go eat, and everybody has a different answer? Don't you love that? How many times does that happen? Everybody wants something different. I remember we used to have to always try to figure out, and then one time we just decided to give everybody what they wanted. You know, we went to McDonald's and let Hayden, now this is a long time ago because Hayden doesn't eat anything unhealthy now, okay? Except when we go to seafood buffet like we did last night, okay? But, you know, Hayden would get his chicken nuggets, and then Hunter would go there and get a burger, and then me and Mom would go get real food, okay? But it's always tough when everybody wants something different. But some choices aren't very important, but some can be extremely significant. Like, who will I marry? We have some teenagers in here today, and they might wonder, hey, who am I going to marry? That's a pretty important question, isn't it? How many adults would say that's a pretty important question? That's something you want to get some consultation from. You want to maybe pray about. Another very important question that we might ask in life is, will I serve the Lord? You know, many of you as young people, you're just coming to church because your parents didn't give you a choice. By the way, good job, parents. Keep that up. Okay? But there'll be a day where you don't have your parent waking you up at 8:30. You will have to make the choice for yourself. Will I serve the Lord? Will I do things God's way? Those are some important questions to ask. By the way, the first question, who will I marry? That one's above my pay grade for those of you that are unmarried today. But if you'd like some advice, here's what I would like to tell you. Find somebody that loves Jesus more than they love you. Because if they love Jesus, guess what? They'll put up with you. Amen? I'm glad my wife loves Jesus, okay, because she puts up with me. But you find somebody that loves Jesus more than she loves you, and guess what? It'll probably work out pretty good. Don't always go for all the looks, because how many know looks can change? Amen? Get a witness, okay? I think we had a kid just spit their gum out, okay? Shouldn't be chewing gum in church, okay? But here's the deal. How many know Zach looks change, don't we? Okay? There was a day Zach would be strutting with his shirt off. Zach won't be seen with his shirt off now, okay? Same for me. There used to be a day I'd flex in the mirror, and now I'm wondering what's happening in the mirror. I want to tear mirrors out of my house. I don't want to see myself in the mirror anymore. Can anybody relate? Things change. But guys, if you find somebody that really loves Jesus, he or she will really love you long term. Amen? The second question, will I serve the Lord? Well, that answer is found in Joshua chapter number 24. If you have your Bibles today, we'll put it up on the board. Joshua 24, verse 15. Will I serve the Lord? Well, Joshua was kind of asked that question, and he answered in this way. Verse number 15 of Joshua 24. And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But then he answers the question for he and his family. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? You know, guys, you got to make good choices like that. Families, parents, dads, make those good choices. Choose wisely for your family that we're going to serve the Lord. I read in a devotion recently in God's Word for You Today, which, by the way, they are available out there in the information table. They're free for you to take. I always say, if you want to know what your pastor is going to be preaching on, read God's Word for You Today, because that's where I get a whole lot of sermon ideas. But I was reading in one of those devotions recently again, you can pick those things up out in the info table. Where are you living today? That was the name of the devotion. Where are you living today? Now, the answer is not a physical address like 302 Sneed Street for me. Or this morning when I was talking about this conversation with Brother Ronnie, and I was hearing about last week's message where he continued to preach on favor. I thought that was awesome. And he asked, what you preaching on this morning, Pastor? I said, where are you going to live? And he said, if it was for me, it's going to be a beach. Okay? Well, I didn't have time to unpack for him that that wasn't really what we were talking about, but the beach is a good idea, okay? This past week, we had a chance to go to the mountains of Colorado, and Seth, that's a pretty cool place, isn't it? Okay, now it's a little bit too cold for me as a Cajun, okay? But it's a good place to visit. The beach is a good place to visit, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about a physical location or some Google Map dot. What we're talking about is everything have to do with how are you choosing to live your life for God? Will you choose to walk in the favor of God and live the kind of life that Jesus promised in John 10:10? John 10:10, Jesus said that I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Jesus promised that you and I can live in an abundant life. The abundant life that Jesus promised was not just for us one day in heaven, but it's for the here and now. Sadly, so many of us live at a level that is so far below the abundant life that Jesus promised us. But I believe today that with God's help, we can choose wisely, I might add, to walk in the favor and live the abundant life that Jesus himself promised can be for us today. You want some of that? Let's pray and believe it together. Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that you would build up our faith today, that you would help us to realize, Lord, that you came so that we might have abundant life, that we can choose today how we will live our lives, that we can choose today, Lord God, to make choices that would honor you, that would increase the favor of God upon our lives. I pray today, Lord God, that you would touch us, you would bless us, and you would help each and every one of us today, especially those that just recently recommitted their lives to you, to live the abundant life that Jesus promised. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I finished up a two-part message on favor of God and as illustrated in the life of Joseph from Genesis 37 to 50. Last week, Pastor Ronnie felt led to continue in that vein, so obviously God wanted to really hammer that point home. And today, we're going to talk along those same lines about how you and I get to choose the kind of life that we want to live. We don't get to choose our parents. We don't get to choose how we look. We don't get to choose those things, but we get to make a choice every day about how we will live for the Lord, about how we will walk in the favor of God. So we were talking about Joseph for a couple weeks, and when Joseph's life ended, he was very well respected in Egypt. Man, he was second in command in Egypt. He had it all going for him. His family was blessed. They were looked after. It was an amazing time. But then things changed, as they so often can do. And in Exodus, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter number 1, we begin reading in verse number 6 through verse number 12, where it says this: "And Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them." Favor. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out a war, they will join our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." You see, things had changed. This began a period of many years where Israel was in slavery to Egypt, but God raised up a deliverer named Moses, who led them out of Egyptian bondage to the promised land. Now, this journey was a journey that some commentators say could have took 10 to 14 days. It was literally on a map, that journey. If they'd went on a straight line, Seth, they could have made it from Egypt to the promised land, or basically the Red Sea to the promised land, in a matter of 2 weeks. But how long did that trip take them? 40 years. Going around the same mountain. Now, some of you ladies were like, well, it's because Moses didn't ask directions. Okay? Don't be bringing up some story. You know, we drove a whole long way, and my wife was having those little directions on her phone, okay? And I don't know where they took us through Texas yesterday, but we got home, praise God, okay? But here's the deal. Some of you, your husband's like, Michael didn't ask directions. That's why it took so long. No, it didn't take them that long because of that. It took them that long because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith, because of so many different things. But that's not today's message. But a trip that could have took only 2 weeks because of fear and disobedience took 40 long years. Now, this story of the children of Israel illustrates to us all three different places that you and I can choose to live. So let's look at that. Number one, the place of not enough. The place of not enough. You see, in Exodus chapter number 1, verses 13 and 14, right after we hear about Egypt putting Israel into slavery, verse 13 says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." You see, as slaves in Egypt, they were forced to depend on Pharaoh for everything. Now, Pharaoh is a type of this world, guys. Pharaoh is a type of this world. And the children of Israel were forced to depend on Pharaoh for everything. And when you have to rely on anyone or anything but God, you are not truly free. Let me say that again. When you have to rely on anyone or anything but God, you, my friend, are not truly free. Until we understand that God is our provider, we will live with a not enough mentality. You see, as I said a couple weeks ago, you must believe more in God's ability to bless you than in the devil's ability to harm you. Too many Christians today and too many churches are stuck in this kind of stinking thinking, living as if God is not enough to come through for you, as if God is not enough to save your unsaved spouse, as if God is not enough to bring that prodigal son or daughter home, to heal you of your sickness or disease, to provide for you and your family, no matter the state of this economy. You see, friends, God is just not enough, or not even just enough. He's more than enough. Amen? He's more than enough. And we not only have to believe it, we got to start acting on that belief. You see, Christians get in trouble when we forget what we should know. I say it all the time. Seth, we get in trouble when we forget what we should know, okay? We forget that we should forgive people, okay? We forget that we should treat people like we want to be treated. We forget that we ought to serve the Lord and do things God's way. We forget those things and we get in a whole lot of trouble. It can even happen to a great man of God like Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, we find the great prophet Elijah living by a stream in the middle of a famine. Now, guys, I got to tell you, if you're in a famine, if it hadn't rained in a long, long time, we drove through an area of North Texas, West Texas, that one guy I talked to said they hadn't had rain in like 100 days. I mean, it was a mess through there. It was just so dry. And I guess if you had to be in that kind of condition, and by a stream is a pretty good place to be. Okay? So Elijah had prophesied this famine. He had prophesied that no rain was going to come, and he's set up by a stream in the middle of a severe famine, and God is providing for him. Now, it's pretty amazing how that happens. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 6. Okay? Now, there's a famine going on. It hadn't rained in a long, long time. Things are so dry. He's hanging out by a stream, which is a good place to be. And verse number 6 says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Boy, that's a pretty good setup right there, huh? Man, look, God is punishing Ahab. He's punishing the nation, and he's taking care of the man of God. Man, this is good stuff. This is pretty good favor. But in verse number 7, we read, "And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up," because there had been no rain in the land. You ever been in a situation where your brook dried up? Ever been in a situation where, Seth, everything was going great, everything was going fine, and then all of a sudden, ooh, things change? Everything is going according to plan, and then, Tommy, the plans change. You ever been there? You see, life was good for Elijah. He'd obeyed God, and he was receiving the blessings because of that. He had gone to the king. He had predicted this great drought, famine, and God is providing for him big time. It reminds me of what we always say, blessings follow obedience. But then one day, the ravens didn't show up, and the brook dried up. Why? Why? We ask that question all the time. You see, the not enough mentality would say, I told you that God couldn't continue to provide. The not enough mentality would say that things are bad for everybody. And at times like these, our faith is put to the test. Will you trust God? Will you claim the promise of Proverbs chapter number 3, where God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, God says, and he will what? Direct our paths. You see, there are times in our lives where you just got to make up your mind that we're going to trust God. There are times in your lives where people will let you down. There are times in your lives where jobs will change. There are times in your life where everything will seemingly fall apart. But at those times, you have to make up your mind, will I or will I not trust God? Elijah was at one of those places. He was at one of those places. Will I trust God? In our story of Elijah, God dried up a temporary source to drive Elijah back to his true source. Understand this truth. Regardless of what or who he uses, God is your source. Okay? He decided to do another thing and move in a great way in Elijah's life, and he's going to do the same thing for you and I. You see, God is our source. He is called Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Let's make the declaration over our lives and over our church today. The Lord will provide. Can you say it with me? The Lord will provide. Guys, you got to believe that. It's not enough to just talk about it. It's not enough for us to sing about it. There are times in your life where you just got to live it out. Amen? You got to live it out. The Lord will provide. Now, guys, I'm tired of talking about the land of not enough, because I've spent enough time there, and I don't want nothing to do with that place anymore. Amen? So let's move on to another place that you and I can choose to live in. The second place is the place of just enough. See, there's a couple places. In the land of not enough, you're in bondage. You're struggling in so many ways. Then there's the place of just enough. In Exodus chapter number 16, we read about this kind of place. Turn with me there. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 1 through 5, it says this. And they took their journey from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and I will prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Came to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Jump down now to verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. See, they were complaining, hey, bread's not enough. We want meat. We want quail. Well, verse number 13 says, and it came to pass that at that evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, they lay a small round thing as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. You see, this is the amazing beginning of the miracle of how the Lord fed the children of Israel, over 1 million people, for over 40 years with a thing called manna. God provided just enough manna for everyone each and every day for 40 years. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome. And that's pretty good. But this is the state that even more Christians than before settle for. God being just enough. Can we choose to stop settling for less than God's absolute best? Amen. Can we just make up our minds and realize that the good can be the enemy of the great? God wants to be not just enough, he wants to be more than enough. See, it's no fun and certainly not a fulfillment of Jesus' promises of an abundant life for us to struggle to just get by. Can I get a witness? Although it's in the struggle that we can learn to be thankful and appreciate, and we should learn to trust God for more. But we should learn, as I said, to trust God for more. Living through seasons of just enough builds into us a tenacity to keep moving forward to greater things in God. As I said, the good can be the enemy of the great. Let's not settle for the good when God wants to give us the great. Don't settle for a good marriage, because God can give you a great marriage. Don't settle for good family relationships when God wants your family relationships to be great. As a church, let's not become satisfied with the good, strong, and healthy church that LCC Berwick has become again when God intends for this church to be great again. Amen? Greatly impacting our community for Christ while supporting missions around the world, making a difference for him. See, God wants and desires for you and I to believe that he is not just enough, but he's more than enough. Amen? Guys, so many of us, we think that God is just enough, and he is, but he's more than just enough. He's more than enough. Amen? And that's what we got to believe for. That's what we got to walk into. So let's think about that third place. Let's talk about that third place where the place of more than enough. You see, God's place or God's plan for the children of Israel was a place running with or flowing with milk and honey. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is the plan of God for the children of Israel. He had brought them out of Egypt. He was going to send them to a promised land. And this is the description of that promised land. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verses 7 through 10. It says, "For the Lord thy God bringing thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou may dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given you." You see, the Bible describes it as a land where you lack nothing. Boy, wouldn't that be a good place to hang out, huh? A land where you lack nothing. This was the promised land for the children of Israel, and it's also symbolic of his desires for you and I as his children today. God's goal for you and me is abundance in every area of our lives. Well, preacher, you're going to have to prove it. Well, I will. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul the apostle writes this to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 8. He writes, "And God is able." Well, I could camp out right there for a little while, but I'm not. Okay? "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." That's a pretty good promise right there, isn't it? God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you are always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see, is this abundance given to us for us to hoard it? No, of course not. We are blessed in order to be a blessing to others. We are blessed so that we can bless others and fulfill our assignments in life. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of us here today. This plan or assignment from God is a holy calling, or at least it can be. You see, some of you think that the only holy calling is being a pastor. It doesn't work like that. See, your calling can be holy if you choose to make it such. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a truck driver, a nurse, a painter, a laborer, a doctor, or a lawyer, it doesn't matter what your profession is, this vocation can become a holy assignment from God if you will start living life in the land of more than enough. If you'll start making up your mind, Casey, that on that job site, I'm going to represent God. If you'll start making up your mind that in that business deal, I'm going to represent God. If you'll start making up your mind that at that school, at that hospital, even at Walmart, in the long checkout line, when they got like two open, I don't have a problem with that. It's all good, okay? Even when you're stuck in traffic, I know here in Berwick, we don't get stuck in traffic, but when you go through real cities, you get stuck in traffic. I'll represent God then. I'll represent God when I get cut off in DFW like I did so many times this last couple weeks, okay? Guys, we need to make up our mind that our vocation can become holy because we're going to choose to live in the land of more than enough. God's favor can rest heavily on your life. God wants to use each of you wherever you will allow him to in order for you to be a blessing to others. You see, guys, that's living in a land of more than enough. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you do, and you should, let's start choosing to live in the land of more than enough, while enjoying the blessings of God, while living the abundant life that Jesus promised us in John 10:10. As Pastor Tommy comes, let me close with a theme scripture that our church is believing God for. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. It's a promise. It's something that we're hanging our hat on. It's something that we're believing God for. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In other words, exceedingly abundantly more. You see, guys, when you choose to believe God, that God is the God of more than enough, you start to experience Ephesians 3:20 in your life. You start to realize the favor of God working on your behalf. You start to see God come through for you because he is the God of not just enough, but of more than enough. You see, we as a church are standing on his promise. Staying on his promise of more than enough. Choosing to live in the land of more than enough because our God is more than enough.